Squibnocket Committee, September 23rd.
Here we go. First order of business is to review the minutes of our prior meeting on the 16th. We've all seen them in the mail, the email.
I don't know if this is a correction or how you want to handle it. The paragraph down at the bottom, gives you John.
Which page?
Page one.
Thank you.
Call it 1, 2, 3. Fifth line from the bottom. The one before the committee members asked if the sand required to build a dune would be pumped in or trucked in. It will be trucked in with an estimated 650 truckloads required. We had to calculate about, it stands what was presented would be 310 truckloads. And 650, I think there was a confusion in it because it was 650, 6,500 cubic yards. So I think some information got skewed there.
Wait a minute, I did hear someone say 650 truckloads. Did I miss that?
That's what I'm saying.
Divided by 10. I presume we get 10 yards in a truck.
That's not correct. The figures that were presented were that there were 6,500 cubic yards and 21 yards per trip. That came out to be 310. That was what was presented on the papers. We started doing figures and throwing out.
Well, I do remember the figures because I got lost, but I thought I heard the figure from the proponents that said 650 trucks.
They said 6,500 cubic yards.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
So I can check the recording and verify trucks versus cubic yards, or we could just substitute six.
If the recollection of the group is that it was 6,500 cubic yards.
Yeah.
Then we can put that in.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that we heard that. I got in touch with Charles. Give me those figures. I wanted to go over that.
So you want to estimate it? You want to change that sentence to say with an estimated 6,500 cubic yards required?
Yes. And 21 trips.
21?
21 yards per trip. And that comes out to be 310 loads of material.
What I'm going to ask that we do then, let's go over the minutes of the tape and get exactly what was said there.
Okay.
And insert that.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you?
That's fine with me. I think what's happened was misconstrued at the meeting.
Could be.
So we could be, you know.
Okay?
Yep. We'll
do. I think the minutes are correct. Maybe my number of this committee may be wrong, because that's what I'm saying.
That's what my notes reflect.
Yes, it doesn't say who did the estimate, does it? But we'll change that sentence to reflect what.
Correspondence. Is it Malcolm Caldwell or Duncan?
Duncan. Sorry. I don't know where that name is from. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I have a motion that's been made seconded to accept the minutes with the two provisos, one Malcolm Caldwell becomes Duncan Caldwell, and we will change the sentence on the 650 truckloads to whatever is in the recording of the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Yes, sir.
I read the report, but I haven't listened to the tape, and hopefully I'll be able to do that in the next day or two. But was there a discussion where the cost estimate of $190,000 came from? And where the sand would come from? And whether the sand would be barged or...
There was a discussion, committee can correct me where I err, but the sand, we were told the sand would not be barged, it would be brought in by truck, and it would be sourced to match the local sand.
So it would come from the bin. It's not going to be barged or truck.
It's going to be barged.
It wasn't clear.
But that's a big cost out. I mean, like,
you mean barge right to the beach?
Well, barge from Hop Island.
Well, it's going to be barged to the New Haven.
Unless it comes from the vineyard. I mean, we're going to
take the beach apart.
We asked.
There was a considerable discussion about this. I think my recollection is it will not be offloaded to Scribnocket from barges, but it will be trucked to the site. Where it would be sourced was not identified. There were questions that were asked, would it match what is existing? We were told that it could, that what is existing would be matched by the material that was brought in.
Okay, so yes, but we think that it would be the sand would originate from Hop Island, it would be barged, and then trucked from the barge to Scribnocket.
We weren't told how it would get onto the island, whether it would come via barge or in a truck on the ferry.
Okay. I would actually look, I don't know at what point we can, I know questions went out, I wouldn't mind getting that clarified.
There are a number of questions that various members of the committee have regarding that proposal, and what I'm trying to do is accumulate all the questions and then put them in one packet and send them off rather than piecemeal.
Okay.
I saw some hands.
I would just comment on that if you want me to, but I don't have to.
What?
So I can answer
Behave yourself.
I can answer Ron's issue or not.
Okay. Answer Ron's
question. My understanding of it is all of those figures came from island contractors and they were based on delivered price. Nobody asked where the material was coming from per se. It may be coming from a pit here on the vineyard, it may not. But those were firm figures from island contractors, delivered price.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I just know, you know, I was 8 years with the steamship authority and familiar with barging, and I know there's a major difference in price between product that originates here and product that...
And they were not clear about where it would originate, just that it would arrive.
Yeah, well, that's not good enough for me. I'm just going to say, I need clarification on that.
Hang on a second, Bill. Margaret?
I think it would be very important to make sure it's clean, sifted sand, and we don't get into that mess like they got into in Oak Bluffs with the asphalt in the sand and all the junk in the sand.
There is no question there'll be further questions of that proposal as we put it together. Billy, you had something?
I think one of the things that we're talking about here, I think it's the charge of this committee to verify all of these things is we're coming in with this. You know, we're in process of vetting each proposal and we'll see if those improve. So
I think there's something, Ron, that's while you're away. We've had a couple of proposals. We've had a couple of suggestions. It is not this committee's charge to accept simply the proposals that have been put in front of us. We may come up with an entirely new proposal. That's why we have a consider a very rigorous set of questions and data gathering going on. So what's, while we will vet these things with our own people and vet numbers and ask questions and so on, we're not bound to simply accept what's been presented. Sir, you had your hand up.
I did. The other piece of that sand issue is that if and when they do dredge the creek, which is seems to be coming along, that Chilmark's share of that sand is intended to be set aside preferably for this project.
What was the last part of your sentence?
That this, that Chilmark's, they're going to put some of the sand, the proposal is to put some of the sand on the Lobsterville Beach side,
right,
and stockpile some of the sand on the Chilmark side, which we can then use for this project.
Which then could be used.
That's true. Could be used, that's right.
There's permitting involved in that.
Go ahead.
To get, for the town to get the sand that the Army engineers own, it's complicated. Just a thought.
Nothing's easy. Okay. Sir, anything further?
No, thank you.
Okay, appreciate that. All right, first order of business. As discussed, I had gone to the Beach Committee and mentioned what we were doing and asked them to consider the issue. Again, I think that the first element of this committee's charge has to do with the beach for the town. That's perhaps not primary importance, but is significantly important. And delighted to see the Beach Committee is here. And how would you like to proceed? Do you want to read this into the record?
Yeah, I think we can just read it. Is that okay?
Sure.
Our Beach Committee's recommendation for the Squibnaga project, September 2014. The committee has met and welcomes the opportunity to comment on this project. Chilmark is known for its beautiful town beaches. Since first being leased in the early 1950s, Squibnaga Beach has offered an enjoyable experience. As noted in our master plan, it is considered a town asset. The following are our recommendations and concerns. It's very important to retain the currently leased beachfront. This area, presently being undermined by the revetment, offers the most desirable swimming. The area towards Muscle Point, although desirable for sitting and walking, is not particularly good for swimming, often rocky and full of seaweed. Second, removal of the current stone revetment. It is encouraging erosion on either end and is creating scouring. Three, removal of former bulkhead rocks that are now only exposed at low tide. These create a hazard to swimmers. Removal of remaining wooden piling that is often visible at low tide. Fifth, removal of boulders that have been placed on Money Hill that, because of erosion, have tumbled to the Lee's Beach. Six, one of the things that is particularly desirable about Squibnaga Beach is that it provides close accessibility to an ocean beach. Parking lot should be close to the single beach access point. We recommend a single lane bridge. Separate the beach access road and parking lot from the homeowner's access road as much as possible. Investigate the possibility of purchasing land above the pond for parking area that could incorporate landscaping plans to minimize its visual impact. And so those were really basically our recommendations as a beach committee. We, you know, as citizens, we obviously may have different opinions, but that's sort of where what we see as important in terms of our duty as a beach committee.
Thank you. I think, speaking personally, one of the things I think that's great about this is constructive and tells us what your concerns are. Some of the stuff that we've heard has been proposals and arguments against other proposals, but this is an overarching, proactive, here's what your concerns are. So I appreciate you bringing that to us. And does anyone have, I have a couple questions. Do you have questions?
I have a question. Just single lane bridge, is that versus two lane bridge or versus Dune?
Versus two lane bridge. Versus what was proposed at one point.
And did you talk about the
Dunes? No, right. We didn't. We just tried to focus on, from the beach committee's perspective, of what's desirable about keeping a town beach there and how this whole committee can facilitate that.
Jay?
I'm just curious because I always think in dollars. If we took, if the town acquired the land, the extra beach that was proposed by the selectmen, do you think that, even though it's not a swimming beach, do you think that more people would come, or do you think that attendance would stay about the same? I'm just wondering if you think adding to the beach will add to the take, the annual take, or whether you think that it wouldn't be that important.
I think Margaret has a lot of experience there.
It depends how swimmable the beach is. Most people go to Vincent Beach. I mean, there are diehards who go to Squibnocket because we like it there. It's not like, you know, crowded or anything like that. And if it's low tide and we have a place to sit, we're going to go there. I mean, I don't think there's anyone in the group that I go to the beach with that doesn't read the tide chart every week and know when it's low tide and know when you can go there.
So you don't think additional beach would make that much difference to the number of beach passes?
Not
itself.
Unless you've got good swimming area. I mean, let's face it, where those rocks are seaweed, those rocks are slimy with seaweed. You can't even stand up on them. They're slippery. I mean, no one really is going to go in swimming there.
I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's an area for people to walk up and down the beach. But in terms of what families and people want, they want to be able to put their towels down and get in the water and swim and not have rocks everywhere.
Well, I think as everybody is aware, the Rodetman has been very destructive to the swimming area of Squibnocket Beach because of erosion and all that, the tide bangs up against it at high tide, and so you can only really use what's legally our leased beach at very low tide. And then, as we mentioned in our letter, there are old pieces of former bulkheads and all kinds of things in the water, in the piece of beach that actually is a very desirable piece of beach historically. And I think that's why we ended up leasing it originally. It's a lovely swimming area if you don't have a revetment that's making problems. And certainly Squibnocket goes in and out with, you know, rocky seasons. Mm-hmm. But people have been back in years when we had more beach because the revetment wasn't so destructive to the area, people spilled out on either side of our leased beach forever, particularly heading up towards the Muscle Point. Certainly as a place to sit and walk. So, you know, I think if it were a beach that was easy to use during the whole day and not just at low tide, then more people would use it. Because there is a huge pressure on Vincent. It fills up.
We have parking lot issues.
I also think in the future beaches could change, and so if you could acquire that, you know, length of beach as being part of the town's lease, I mean, it could end up being an asset that people are able to walk on there without having any problems. I know there's, you can walk on low tide without cut.
Well, next verse is, what does that do for parking? Do you think that if the town did acquire that extra piece of beach, It would need a bigger parking area? Or is that parking area used to capacity or not?
The one that's currently there?
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
This is not something that we've thought about at all.
I've seen times when you've had to wait in line to get into Squibnocket. I've seen that they only let two or three cars wait there, too. After that, they send them away. They say, you know, you'll have to come back later.
About 3 or 4 years ago, there were situations where they were waiting.
There was a lot of waiting, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
When the beaches, there waiting this year at all?
No, because nobody
could come. No, nobody came this year. It was really empty most of the time.
But when it is, it's, I mean, like 4 or 5 years ago, when it, for some reason, there was a lot of beach there and it wasn't too much of a problem. That parking lot is not adequate. It's a mess.
How many cars?
Do you know what?
No, but it depends who's working too, because they know how. You get people working there who do know how to park the cars, and then you get people working there who don't. I mean, it depends. You can't have room between cars for almost another car to fit in. You know, they have to make sure people park right.
It's about 50.
Excuse me?
I'm thinking around 50, but that might be a little over more than.
I have a question as well. One of the things that's particularly desirable about Squibnocket Beach is close accessibility to an ocean beach. Parking lot should be close to the beach access point. But then at the bottom, you're saying, investigate the possibility of purchasing land above the pond for a parking area. Is that contradictory?
No, it really isn't. It's sort of in reference to what was proposed in the spring, where you had a parking area really a long distance from a desirable swimming
from
area.
From the sand beach.
Yes.
That's the concern. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, this anything in proximity to our current parking area up the hill, on the side, around, would have reasonable accessibility to the very nice swimming beach.
And people could drop people off right close to the beach and then go park their car.
A lot of older people use Squibnocket, right? Yep. Even this summer, there you will see people sitting there in beach chairs, people who don't feel like they can navigate the steps anymore, but they want an ocean experience rather
right.
than simply, you know, going to Venetia and enjoying the sound. So that's one of the nice things about Squibnocket.
So they sit at the top.
They'll sit at the top.
Yeah.
And how many do you think sit in their cars at a time?
Oh.
Like if we wanted to provide.
I don't really know. I mean, I never given it a. But often you'll see people just enjoying it and sitting. People, you know, that you've known are old-time summer people who have been here for 50 years and they can't just get down to the beach anymore.
Well, they're sitting
still,
at lunch.
Yeah.
I've seen them sitting and eating lunch.
And they're, you know, determined to still get to the beach, which is very nice about. That's a nice thing about Squibnocket that sort of came to us late in our thinking about our response to.
And they put their chairs out in front of their cars if they want to get out of the cars and they sit them.
Yeah, most of the people who stay in the cars are the surfers waiting to see the shore break. My view, anyway. Any other questions? Billy?
Just for further clarification, what you were talking about, Jim. So, as a committee, as a plan that was presented to the town that had the parking lot on the far side, on the western side, on the plan, there was a one-lane bridge or possibly a two-lane bridge with the parking lot on the other side. As a committee, are you endorsing that or not endorsing that by what you're saying here?
Not really endorsing
not
that.
Really
it seems not. Like it seems commingling the homeowners of Squibnocket and the beach patrons, perhaps more than is necessary. It seems like a really good idea to try to separate out beachgoers and people getting to their homes.
So, following the sequencing of all these, so that single lane bridge, I think it was stated that if we had a parking lot on the other side, that the town was going to get over to that other side of the parking lot. that we need to widen that bridge for the two-way traffic.
Well, I think my recollection, Billy, is that in the presentation that the homeowners made, originally they had proposed a single lane bridge.
Right.
And then when the discussions evolved with the town, and we talked about leasing more beach and creating a parking lot, and the parking lot was at the western end, at that point, given the traffic to the parking lot, it became a double lane bridge. I believe that was the discussion.
Okay, so I mean, it seems like the single lane would just be less impact. And you know, I think it, you know, I obviously don't know all the intricacies of the traffic patterns, but it seems like for 2 months of the year, there might be some way to do it so that it wouldn't be an imposition to the homeowners. But that's why it would be nice to separate the homeowners' access from the beach patrons' access during July and August, when, you know, when it's thicker.
And it's not like you get the traffic like you have at Lucy Vincent. It's not like you have that number of cars going to Squibnock.
Well, except at Lucy Vincent, you don't have service trucks and utilities trucks.
Driving through the yard.
I don't know if anybody's ever spent any time on the North Shore of Kauai, but the entire the entire North Shore, which services thousands of people, has single lane bridges across the entire North Shore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you needed some kind of, you know, reference point of how many people it can service, the, you know, it works perfectly well.
Yeah. There are a number of areas, Bermuda is one of them as well.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Lasser.
I just wanted to clarify. Yes, you are correct that the original homeowner's proposal was a single lane causeway. Yes, you are correct that when the town entered the picture with its proposal for the location of the parking lot, et cetera, they insisted, and probably it would have been necessary, on a two-lane bridge, which we swallowed with reluctance, but that was the deal they proposed. And they could not figure out a way that was safe and practical, because if people came to the parking lot and it was full, and you know, you needed Chuck and Bill Rossi argued, they made a strong argument that if you had the parking there, you need two lanes.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Yes.
I just have a question about the beach that the town doesn't lease. Are people stopped now from using it?
No, absolutely not. And as I think Clarissa just said, for years, even before the high tide situation became as acute as it is now, people migrated up the beach, and we were happy to have them. And people, of course, walked on the beach, because if you want to take a walk, you're either going to go down towards Stonewall, unless it's rocky, or you're going to go up the other way. And people did both. There was never even a question at our homeowners meeting, should we attempt to impose the private property right on the beach. We're happy.
And you think that will change?
Well, it would, under which proposal? If the town becomes the leasor of the beach, then it becomes a town beach. So, of course, by definition, it becomes that way.
But well, I was just, what, is that a priority that this committee should consider?
I don't think
separate
it's,
from other.
For us, it's never been an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to note that for a brief period this summer, there was some signage part way down towards, heading towards Stonewall area. Some of the homeowners or somebody.
That's been put there before. It was there 2 or 3 years ago.
It comes and goes, a sign requesting that people do not walk or trespass on privately owned, non-leased beach. And I think that's partially because you know, people have pushed further that direction, having no place to go in front of at our leased beach.
Just to clarify, that's not in our direction.
No, it's in the other direction. It's not in your direction.
It's Stonewall. Yeah.
And the sign comes and goes. It's there sometimes and not there. But there's some concern from the homeowners in that direction.
It's Stonewall.
Well, it's not all the way down to Stonewall.
It's but right there.
There's some concern east of the existing revetment.
Is there one other piece before Quetzalcoatl?
There might be one before.
There is.
Okay. It's never been signed as to who's being upset by it. It's not an official, like, legal sign, but it's saying, please don't come here.
Okay.
I think the other thing we were just wondering about is it just seems that if it's possible in the recommendation to see if it's possible to to lease any of the property up above the Vitula, I can never say that name. It just seems like if that was possible, whether it's a bridge or a dune, you know, it just seems like that area would be, you know, really worth looking at, if that's a possibility.
That's been raised as a potential on a number of occasions. In fact, Tim Rich made a suggestion that be purchased and used as an endpoint for a causeway. He even suggested who should purchase it.
Right.
That's part of his suggestion.
That's the sticking.
I think it would be nice to have the additional beach, but I don't think we need to have the additional parking through the gate. I think we should try to keep our parking out of their business. I mean, I think, you know, that's their homeowners association, and we shouldn't be building a parking lot in there.
I think our whole committee feels that.
Yeah, well, that's clearly the sense of, at least the way I read this note.
We're just very happy that everybody agrees to get rid of your revetment.
That seems to be a common threat, and the issue is, it is tricky when you take it away, and the issue is I think somebody used the phrase orderly retreat, and I'm not sure that mankind can be in charge of how orderly the retreat is.
But do you know exactly what year that was put in there?
We have heard that it was when it was originally put in and then when it was remodeled.
I guess I'm talking about when it was remodeled, because that was when they started having all the problems.
Anybody recall?
Wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like.
We had it. It was mentioned at one of the meetings. And Margaret, I don't remember when.
Perhaps I can help. Without Margaret disputing the science, because I'm not a scientist, whether or not that was when all the problems started, or whether the so-called remodel of the revetment was in response to the problems. But it was done twice by the town in financial cooperation with the homeowners, and it was done the first time about 12 years ago, and then the second time about 8 years ago, more or less. And in effect, what it was an extension of the revetment towards Stonewall, because the profound erosion had occurred at the end.
The scouring.
And one of the things we removed, for example, the last two utility poles, because they were, the one closest to the beach was about to fall in the ocean, and put our utilities under the parking lot, and then the town oversaw John Keane to expand the revetment.
Thank you. Mr. Damra.
I have a vague recollection of there being and Chris can maybe help me with this, a wooden kind of bulkhead there that was filled in so that people could park their cars. This was a long
time ago. In the 50s,
right.
Eddie Cottle built that.
Right.
And that's what some of those posts are still
exactly.
in the water now.
Exactly. So there's this ongoing history of a structure in that location.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was there up through the 70s.
Yeah. It was there a long time.
Yeah.
That big rock that was used, is on the beach used to be in the parking lot.
Okay, anything further from the beach committee, for the beach committee, from the committee, from this committee? Well, we do appreciate it. Again, I appreciate you being proactive, and I appreciate you being constructive. So thank you for your input.
Thank you for asking. And I just want to say on behalf of the beach committee, we do very appreciate the homeless, but not the homeowners association's willingness to let us go to the right there and use your beach. Yeah. It's always been a wonderful thing you've
done. Yeah, one of the things that occurred to me a number of times during the meetings that we've been having here, we have been told about how people have gone to the beaches since they were eight and how they've always gone and their kids have gone. It's not like anyone on this committee doesn't appreciate beaches. We all, I think, all the town residents, all the taxpayers do appreciate the beach, and that's why it's in the master plan as a very vital part of what this town is. So the fact that we're engaged in trying to deal with this issue doesn't obviate our acceptance and desire and understanding of the importance of the beach to this town.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Okay.
We share your concern. Okay, wanted to mention next item is questions and answers from the CONCOM. Allison and I went to the last Conservation Commission meeting. I explained a little bit about where we were in our process. I accepted graciously the fact that they didn't want to give an opinion on anything that's been presented to us, because they ultimately will have to make a determination on a plan. But I had four questions specifically for them that I asked in the hopes that they could save the committee some time and money if they could give me answers. The first question was whether the wetlands delineation presented by the FOS LLC, remember the big poster, was the same as the CONCOM's wetlands delineation. And the answer is, it is not the same as the CONCOM's delineation, but any applicant coming to do anything involving the Scribnocket Pond will be required to do a wetlands delineation that will be reviewed by the CONCOM and serve as the basis for that application. Is that, everybody follow that? Okay, so that was point one. Question one and answer one. Question two was, we had sent some questions to the FOS LLC a while ago. They gave us back some answers. The answers were wetlands expert Martian, as far as I could tell, so I asked the CONCOM to review the answers to see, you know, and translate them from Martian to layman's English, which they will do. They have not yet done that. Question three was, it was presented to us that you can fill up to 5,000 square feet of wetland without having to remediate in another area. And I was told that actually is not correct, that you can, if you are granted permission by a permitting authority, then you may fill up to 5,000 square feet, and you may or may not have to remediate. Okay? So you cannot automatically go and fill. And then the fourth question I had was, what has been the history in Chilmark where people have needed to cross wetlands to get to their homes? And the answer was, originally we had culverts built through, and that wasn't enough, so then we had box culverts. And then recently, and the case was raised to Dennis Jason, where we had him put in a bridge rather than fill. And that was the answer to what's happened in the history of the contract. So those four questions were raised. Those were the answers I got. Okay?
Jim, question on that. Would be, so when you said about the filling in the wetlands, as long as it was done by a granting, a permitting board, was that strictly the CONCOM, or is there, are there other boards that would have to sign off on that?
The DEP and a few other people. But you cannot assume, I mean, the response was you cannot assume that you will automatically be allowed to fill in up to 5,000 square feet. It has to be permits granted that may or may not be granted to fill wetlands. All right, implementation matrix. At 5:36 this morning when you sent me your email about the bus duty, you didn't tell me whether you were ready on that.
Well, I didn't think of that at 5:36.
That.
Dan and I have been exchanging matrices fast and furiously. I think what we're headed towards is combining our two. Dan's got that beautiful table he's put together of criteria by which to evaluate proposals. I've been working on the agreements that we need to do as part of that. So I think we've agreed we've got enough overlap that it makes sense for us to just put that whole thing together. And we're going to try to meet Dan and I this week, and we can find a couple hours and work on that. So hopefully we'll have something next week if we can find a couple hours together.
Good. Okay, update on experts to assist the SQUECOM. We have pulled together, and you have in front of you, a scope of services list.
One of them.
Yeah.
Coastal.
Right, this is, where's the, this is the coastal.
That too. I don't have
the other one. The other one is in here? Okay. I think everybody's seen this. Dan has passed it around. It's my view that this is spot on to what we need. And unless anybody has any objections, I think this is what we should use. And just
the next step on it would be to send it to the consultants. Mm-hmm. And in one case, as far as the coastal consultant, the USGS, they can just start looking on it. And I suspect they will have some of their own thoughts that we want to do in addition to it. And in case of the so-called environmental consultant, he needs to have this so that he can give us a financial proposal. So we need to get that out.
So is will we send them every proposal we've gotten? Is that our plan? I mean, when we,
yeah.
Whether it's the government group or the other, they'll have everything we have.
They will have all the material that we've gotten,
okay.
All the relevant material.
And somehow we would ask them if there's things that haven't been proposed or we haven't considered that they would recommend.
I think we would add that to the right.
Yeah, answer. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we will get these out this week.
Yes. Yes, please. Good, then we'll move along. Jane, you?
Motion made.
Motion.
Seconded.
What was the motion there? To accept?
The point, yes, that the committee agrees to send this out to the president.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Got that? Okay. And just for group here, basically what we're talking about is going and asking some general questions about what's been proposed, and then specifically to the issue of the revetment, to the elevated roadway, to the man-made dune, to the artificial reef that's been suggested to us as well. We're looking at conditions immediately after, then conditions over time. How will conditions be stabilized? What about future issues, 20 years or 50 years, to the extent that this can be anticipated? Relationship between shoreline, relationship to beach, it's fairly exhaustive, and I think I know the reason that I wanted to mention that to everyone who's attending here is we are very proactively going after the information that's presented to us. And again, it's all about what, in the opinion of this committee, would be the best way to deal with the issue of beach and access and parking going forward, which may or may not be something that's been presented to date. Okay.
Yes, we, of course, there's been so much material we've received, much of it which is going to be very useful, and the experts certainly are going to have a leg up when they start with that. They're not going to start over again. They're going to use a lot of the stuff that we have, and if they're comfortable with it.
Yeah. And that raises another issue. We've received two communications this week, both last night, one from the Beach Committee, also one from the farm homeowners, and we'll be discussing that next week in our meeting. But in the homeowners note, Mr. Lasser said that he would be happy to have their experts talk with the FOS experts to identify where they disagreed on things, and has instructed his group to reach out to the FOS experts. And we'd be we're grateful that that would happen. That would certainly help our process. And I don't think there's anyone here from FOS. So it would be good if that was responded to by their experts. And also in terms of, as I said earlier, there are additional questions that have come up on the FOS proposal, some additional questions on the homeowners proposal. What I'd like to do, have each member of the committee just keep your own list, and in a couple of weeks we'll bang them all together and send them off in one block rather than piecemeal. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
How
are we doing on our experts for estimating?
I've been engaged in conversations with companies on the island. I don't have anything to report now, but I am getting information.
We get somewhere.
I have the same way. Actually, I have a question. Was it you, Chris, that said that those figures in the proposal were firm?
No, I said they were from island firms.
You said they were firm figures.
I don't know how firm they are, Steve. I believe that Charlie asked for and received a good estimate of what it would cost. Well, I don't think there's a firm figure in anything until you have a firm proposal.
Okay, no, I must have missed.
Yeah, because I.
Because I specifically asked him where he got the figure for the materials, and he said it came from me. When I just spoke to a friend of mine.
No, wait, it came from?
From me. The quote for the sand.
Came from you?
Yeah.
I thought he made phone calls.
No,
I asked him specifically where he got that number, and he said that, well, that's what you said. You can go back and review it, but I was rather shocked. Because that was just a number a friend of mine gave me for a project he'd done like 10 years ago. And that was just a rough guy. Okay, that's why I was just wondering. I thought you said it was from, but anyway.
This is why minutes are important, because I also thought you said it was a firm figure delivered, price delivered.
That's what he said. And I'm just going on what Charlie told me, and he told all the rest of us the same. It's not like I got special information here.
Well, wait a minute. Now I think you've told me two things.
No.
But it doesn't matter,
no.
Frankly.
Exactly.
We are going to need to review the figures in any event.
I agree. Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
While you're on this, looking at things you're going to review, in the letter that I sent you a week or so ago, mm-hmm. I suggested very strongly that consider looking at the project in Duxbury. And I really just want to emphasize how important I think that is. Before we go out, any of us trying to invent a solution, I think we all need to see a solution that somebody else has invented in a similar situation. And there it is, right up the road. We can go look at it, we can hear about it. It's just seems a shame not to go do that before you get into the decision-making process.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
You can after I do.
Okay.
One, I appreciate the input. Two, I have seen Duxbury. And three, any other comments?
Maybe my memory's faulty, but I thought that the guy that the town hired, was it O'Connell that spoke at the town meeting?
Oh yeah.
Isn't he on the board at Duxbury? He's the engineer for that project.
Yeah, it wasn't very much in favor.
Didn't he say it couldn't work here?
Yes.
No, wait, is that a rhetorical question?
Well, I'm just hoping someone can refresh my memory. That's my memory of it, and maybe it's faulty, but I thought that's what he said.
Isn't he the one that talked and talked and talked and then came and talked again and then talked
again? Yeah.
That was him.
And then talked some more.
But yeah, I believe all right. He's on the board of Duxbury.
You have to put that in a minute.
He's the engineer.
I'm working on it.
And he said at the town meeting that it can't work here. That's my recollection. Maybe
yes.
Someone can correct me.
I agree with Steve. He did say that.
Okay.
And
Jen?
Oh, I just thought to follow up on Chris's, maybe what we ought to do if we think that Duxbury is in the right place, maybe the North Shore of Kauai might be a good place to go.
That's a good solution.
You can check out the bridges.
They do a field trip.
Yeah,
volunteer.
So I have a question because I thought that the expert who came in last week said that he had worked on that project, and I think it would be valuable to get multiple evaluations of that project and about why it would work here or why it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously part of what we're looking at.
One of our experts is very familiar with that project and has been involved in it.
Right.
So we will get information.
My point, though, yes. Jim, is that I've heard people tell me all sorts of things about the Duxbury project, and until I went to see it, I didn't get it. And I think that it would be very useful for everybody to just go see it. You don't have to take an expert's opinion. You can see what they've done.
Right, and as I said, I have. Billy?
I think just in this spirit of investigation and being, you know, on this committee, that I'm trying to get it into my schedule. I'd like to look at the look-see. If anybody else wants to go, carpool, I don't know when I can do it, but it is on my many list things to do.
Okay. Sir?
Many years ago, I lived in Duxbury, so I've seen it too. But I will say that Jim O'Connell, to confirm, did say at one of the information meetings that he was actively today on the board which oversees that. I think it's great to go look at everything from Hawaii to the South Shore, but if you also take a look at what our engineering consultants describe relative to Duxbury and to 10 other seemingly comparable arrangements, a lot of the applicability of one project to our problem has to do with the ocean and wave and facing conditions. And I think the key problem with applying Duxbury to Squibnocket had to do with how it faces and how the historical wave action of Squibnocket, the energy is very different than in Duxbury, which is actually called Duxbury Bay. It's not the same situation. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't look at it, but it's important when you're looking to know the differences as well as the similarities.
Yeah. That point's taken. I think having been to Duxbury, my own concerns, and I don't know the answers yet, have been wave action and the movement of sand, migration of sand along that barrier versus what's here. But that, again, that gets close to Martian for me in terms of figuring it out. But those are concerns I have. that they see right away. Okay, we are not going to debate ducks, but this could be another last
point. I just want to say that my concern was none of those things. It was the political solution that made the process work that's important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need to look at. A, to see that something can work, and B, to see how they got there. And I gave you copies of...
Code of Conditions.
The Order of Conditions.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the final product of that process. And it's working.
I think we have a process much like that here.
I hope it ends up with a sort of solution.
We also hope it ends up with a solution that is good for here.
And I can reassure you that the sand and wave action is the primary interest of one of our experts.
Great.
Who's going to give us free advice.
Good. Okay. Margaret,
sorry. We can work on this as hard and as long and do what we think is the right thing, and you let a storm, like a major hurricane come along or something, and you can't mess with nature. It's what it really boils down to that. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. It could happen 2 years down the road, it could happen 20 years down the road. You have no way of knowing. Look at some of the storms they had in New York and New Jersey a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Okay. Four of us are going to go over after this meeting. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question at some point for Ron that was brought up last week. Is this a good time?
No, he hasn't left yet.
I don't think he's coming back yet.
So the person talking about creating a dune and migrating road, the question came up about homeowners' land. And for instance, the farm homeowners own this tract, and it may get turned into a dune if the dune's allowed to migrate. And what does that do to the property lines?
The rear property line. I sort of could go on and on about this, but where you're dealing with, let's just say, ocean, because that's simple because the law is clear on that. When you're dealing with ocean, it's erosion and accretion. So the private property goes down to the mean low water mark. And that's where ownership goes. And as the as you accrete, you gain property, and as you erode, you lose property.
And do all the lines.
You're talking about. So if we just deal with the ocean front, that's really clear. I mean, it's mean low water. That's the dividing line between public and private ownership.
So does that homeowner's back line move with it?
No. So let me get to the back line. Because the front line to you, it's settled, it's been settled since the 1600s. The back line is a little bit, it's more legally complicated. And if there's presently a lawsuit pending in the land court where there's this very issue is being litigated and it deals with the grape line. And it's the oyster pond, or the Yucatan Great Pond. But the principle, what pond it is doesn't matter. The Great Pond, the land under the Great Pond, and the Great Pond itself is owned by the state. So as the pond moves northward, I've got my directions right. And it starts being filled in. What's being filled in is land where the bottom was the state. So do normal laws of accretion and erosion apply where you're filling in state land? I hope this is not too confusing. Or when you fill it in, is it owned by the state? And I have my opinion on it, which I think that the ultimate outcome will be law. distinction between a great pond, which is a barrier beach, and the ocean. And there is a case which reaches the same conclusion. So I think that's the law right now, but that is currently being challenged. And there's actually a bill filed. I don't know if you people have followed it in the Massachusetts legislature. It's been filed. It hasn't gone anywhere, but it's been filed, which would say that as Great Pond gets filled in on barrier beaches, that the ownership is public and not private. I know that bill hasn't gone anywhere. Also, just reading the bill, it sounds sort of like simple, but what's your starting point? Are you starting today? Are you starting in 1648? What's the starting point? So all I'll say is I think right now the law is, as the ponds get filled in, the private ownership would get the accretion, but the land court is going to speak on that, and we'll know a lot better after that. But we probably won't know in time if this committee to do its work.
Spoken like a lawyer, sir.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. Well, the judges have higher authority than I do. I just think it's
okay. Any further questions? Okay. 9 o'clock. Hearing is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. Can you just say anything about the next meeting?